Yo, 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 what's going on? It's Greg Lunt. You're listening to the Unnamed Podcast for June 7th, 2017. And it's a Wednesday, as it tends to be on these recordings. It's about 5 o'clock in the p.m. And I got a lot of stuff going on all of a sudden, which is nice. I got... my friend just flew in yesterday, moved back to L.A. So me, him, and my brother have been spending... Well, he got here last night, and he got here maybe like 24 hours ago. And we've all three just been hanging out the whole time. Except right now, they're at yoga, and I gave him my mat, and they're my brother's introducing him to yoga. So we're trying to get him to lose 50 pounds... he wants to lose 50 pounds by the end of the year. So he like came out here with a new focus and like drive on lifestyle and like health and stuff. And like, you can't land in a better situation than like hanging out with my brother. So, we're getting him acclimated to healthy lifestyle. So yesterday when he flew in, we hung out and then we went to, the sauna. And we went in like a cold pool and back in the sauna, back in the cold pool. Then we went, got some smoothies. And then we went back to my brother's pad and he made up like this big ass fucking sick mango salad. And we watched Master of None and just chilled. And then today woke up, we did an early hike. And what else? And then, yeah, then we just went back and they went to yoga. And I've just been doing my thing, but probably going to catch the NBA Finals game tonight. And I hope the Cavs don't get swept, dude. I mean, I love LeBron. I really, really love LeBron. And it's just like, the Warriors are good, but I also think they'll win a game. I don't think there's any way LeBron allows himself to get swept. Unless Durant just like, I mean, they're just so scary. You know, the Warriors are just so scary. They do everything well, and they just have like so much star power. Like, this was the matchup last year, and the Warriors won 3 games out of 7, and then they added Kevin Durant. It's just like, it's absurd. And and I just hope LeBron doesn't lose 4-0, because that sucks. And if you hate on LeBron, you're just a fucking hater. Like, come on, dude. You know, he's just like, it's like hating, I guess it's not, but in a way, it's like, it's just like hating on like Peyton Manning or something. It's like, who hates, like, why do you hate LeBron? Are you still butthurt about the decision? Like, how do you hate LeBron? I don't get it. He's like a, maybe I miss, is there something in his personal, I think he's like squeaky clean, right? I mean, he's like been married forever to like his high school sweetheart. He's got like a bunch of kids. He's never in the news for the wrong reason. He's like an impeccable citizen, and he's the best player on the fucking planet, bar none. And he wins, and he like, what? He's been to the finals 6 straight years. It's gotten so boring to say LeBron's the best that he didn't even finish in the top 4 MVP this year. I hope that's right. I think, I mean, at least he wasn't in the conversation I was listening to. It was Westbrook, Harden, and Kawhi, and that LeBron was never brought up. So I'm assuming that it played out where those were the top 3 vote getters. I actually don't know what the final counts were. Or did they even release that yet? Did they release that before? Did they give it to Westbrook? Or what? Let me see. This is how much I keep up with basketball these days. Yeah, okay, so they didn't even give it out yet. Curry, Durant won in 14, and then Curry won 15 and 16. But 2017, they haven't given it out yet. And it looks like for the MVP, the finalists are... Oh, okay. So, yeah, so it's only 3... Like, only 3 get nominated at all. It's Westbrook, Harden, and Kawhi. That's weird. You can't just have an open vote. You only get 3 nominees? That's so weird. Why can't there just be an open vote like in baseball? Where you just vote for your fucking top players and then there's like a point system assigned to each ranking that you give them and then they just haven't... Like, why would you not include the field? Like, what if someone wants to give LeBron votes or give anyone else votes. Maybe I'm just reading it wrong, but it says Westbrook, Harden, Kawhi are the nominees for the 2017 Kia Most Valuable Player Award, implying that you can't choose from the field. I think that's absurd and stupid. But, all right, so yeah, so exactly my point. LeBron not even a fucking nominee, and he had the best stats of his career this year. Like, I think it's just because it got completely overshadowed because Westbrook averaged a motherfucking triple-double. LeBron this year averaged more points than he has in the last 3 years, more assists, more rebounds, by significant, two more assists than last year. He went from 6.8 to 8.7. And then in rebounds, he went from the last 3 years, went from 6 to 7.4 to 8.6. 8.6, career high. 8.7 assists, career high. The points aren't a career high, but 26 is just under 27 is his career average. His free throws are down, whatever. And his field goal percentage is beast. And he's hitting more threes, tied for career high in three. I mean, he's playing the best basketball he's ever played. And he's not even a nominee. The best player in the planet is on top of his game, and he's not even a nominee for MVP. That's how good fucking LeBron is. And then, dude, did you see what he said to the reporter? Oh, what a fucking beast. Oh, I love the fucking, dude, NBA reporter, like, outtakes with the players are the best. I could YouTube those for hours, man. Like Westbrook and fucking Iverson and just all the classic ones. Westbrook's a beast with them too. Westbrook's a beast. He doesn't give a fuck. He's such a goofy ass dude. What an ugly guy. Russell Westbrook's just an ugly dude. But fuck, he can play. He went fourth in the draft, I'm pretty sure. Who did he... who went before him? What year was that? Been in the league probably like 7 or 8 years. He got picked in 08. Damn, so this is his 10th year in the league? Is that right? Jesus Christ. Maybe 9th. What was I looking for? What the fuck was I... Oh, who was drafted before him? 2008 NBA draft. Russell Westbrook goes 4th to the Supersonics. Wow, that's a good little... That's a good question. That's a nice little bar bet. What team drafted Russell Westbrook? People that think he's... I mean, because he did get drafted. This is the home team. They just moved from Seattle to Oklahoma City when the Sonics became the Thunder. It's interesting. That must have been that same year. So anyway, number one that year was Derrick Rose. Number two was Beasley. And number three was O.J. Mayo. Then Westbrook 4, Kevin Love 5. It's pretty nice so far. Gallinari 6, Eric Gordon 7, who sadly is probably the worst player on that list. Although he had a pretty good year from what I can tell. He's an Indiana alum. Joe Alexander, bust, complete. DJ Augustine, pretty much career backup. Brooke Lopez, stud. Jared Bayless, okay, not really. He had his shots and just blew every shot he had. Jason Thompson. He was like a good role player, I guess. Brandon Rush is a role player. Anthony Randolph, bust. Robin Lopez, still going strong, right? Maurice Bates, is he still in the league? Roy Hibbert. This is probably so boring on the podcast. I just realized I'm just going down the 08 NBA draft list and giving my takes on players that were drafted a decade ago. I bet that's fucking awesome. I'm thinking of which way I want to go this. There are two things I wanted to talk about. One is, well, let's talk about Apple. Did you see the Apple, whatever their conference is called that they do every year and they announce all their new shit? So here are my takeaways from that, from what I understand. Big game changer in payments. So now you're going to be able to transfer money from iPhone to iPhone. So it's basically going to replace services like Venmo or compete with services like Venmo and Square Cash and Chase QuickPay and, you know, the individual bank apps. The bank apps, obviously, like Chase QuickPay, like, although QuickPay was the only one for a while, I think, that could take from like outside sources and not just like bank to bank. Like, obviously, if you have Wells Fargo or Bank of America, you can transfer funds in between accounts in that bank easily. But to do bank to bank, Chase was the first to market, I remember, at least. And then, you know, Venmo's been out for a while and has caught on pretty well. But Square Cash has some momentum, I think. People don't like the social aspect to Venmo, is what the feedback that I feel like I'm getting is that, and I don't either. I put all of my Venmo transactions on auto private because there's no reason that I should be broadcasting who I'm paying. Even if you can block the description or the amount of money or whatever. Actually, you can't block the description. That's the whole point. So it's like, yeah, cute little inside joke, but also like, why do I need to tell you that I just paid my homie $20 like for dinner? Like, even if it's that simple, like, you just don't need to know that. So the fact that they were trying to play into the whole social media feed thing, which was kind of like, it wasn't a bad idea, but I think it's going to end up being the reason that people don't resonate. People, because, like, dude, it's money transfer. It's like, it's not a game. It's not a social network. It's a fucking financial network. And people don't fuck around with their finances. People aren't flaunting. I mean, stupid people are, but smart. So you're going to, you know. So it's not that, you know, obviously you can just uncheck it, but yeah, if the majority of people just have Apple iPhones and don't have Venmo yet, and then Apple comes out with some payment system, like, I would venture to guess that the majority of people are not transferring money from phone to phone, whether it's Venmo or anything else. Most people in the country, I mean, pulling a number out of my ass, I'd probably say like only like 20 or 30% of the people that have smartphones in the country are making like mobile to mobile payments on a regular basis, right? So if you, to the rest of the 70%, if you just say, by the way, if you have an iPhone, you can send money to your friend. Just put your bank account in right here, or put a credit card in right here. That's going to be very convenient because, unlike a Venmo or a Square Cash where they have to educate people, Apple just puts a fucking notification in their iOS and everybody gets it and it's free and it's instant. So they have a huge leg up based on their infrastructure to just take away a large part of that market. And then once it becomes a necessity, then they make it 99 cents a month, you know, or whatever. Or at least they have the option to do that. So the payment processing from mobile to mobile, that's going to be a big deal for Apple. Another big one I saw was the media compression. So apparently, I think I read this right, was that you're going to be able to take the same quality images with your phone, and I think video, I would assume video, but the same quality media, and it's going to be half the size. So if, you know, photos and videos are taking up a third of your phone's memory, well, now it's only taking up a sixth, right? So instead of, you know, and that's interesting because they obviously went ahead and this is probably just, this might just be for the iPhone. I don't know. Does that go across all the different iPhones? Because I guess it doesn't depend on the hardware at that point, what camera's in it. It's just about what software's on it. Unless the camera, no, because they're not increasing the quality. They're just compressing it differently. So the code in the software is such that once a picture is taken on your phone, it just crunches the numbers in a more efficient way so that it takes up half the storage that it normally would. But the pictures will be the same quality, but that's still great because obviously size on the phone isn't, you know, you have to pay money for more space. So they're saving people money with that. And then the third one was the HomePod. So that is basically the competition for Alexa and for Google Home. Apple's launching HomePod, I believe, in the fall. And first of all, I don't love the name. I guess because what they're going for is a playoff of the iPod, obviously, and they're pitching it as a speaker. So it's going with that same music theme that the iPod to the HomePod. And it didn't resonate with me until I read it. It just sounded kind of like a bland name. And when I think, when people think about, like, I would have much rather it be called the iHome. Like, that makes a lot more sense to me. iHome, like, do they already have a product called that? Because if not, like, that's fucking the move. Like, no brainer. Because if you're, like, maybe it's just because they don't believe in the, see here, okay, so here's my thing. I went down this thought process when I saw it, and I was like, why are they pitching it to music? Well, maybe it's because, you know, people, when they think of having a smart device in the home, they want something that is gonna be very much a two-way street, right? It's not just spitting reminders into it, but it's like they have to respond to what you say, and like not necessarily have a full conversation, but like, you know, you say play this song and then it plays the song, or you like task it and then it says okay, you got it, and it understands you and you learn from each other. And why would you limit yourself to just being a music player unless you didn't think that your technology was up to par with, say, and the Alexa intelligence or the Google Homes intelligence? And so what I did was I looked online and I was like, are there any comparisons out there? And I only read one, and he asked it about 22 or 25 questions and then saw like who got it right in the most detail and stuff. And it was very close, but Alexa beat out Siri by like half a point. It was like basically they're the same, and just reading, I don't know how he did his points necessarily. I mean, I do because he explained it, but like I kind of felt reading down it that like Siri actually was a little bit smarter. So it depends. It depends on, you know, the trajectory of how you're trying to grow that intelligence, you know, in the inside of each of those corporations. But I think that making it a home music player seems limited, and I just hate the name so much. It just doesn't resonate with me, and it looks exactly like you think it would look. It's just like a small orb, completely white, like no buttons on it, and they have a black version too. But did I say orb? Like a cylinder, like an orb would be cool, actually. I don't know. I mean, people will buy it just because people are addicted to Apple products. Like, they have brand. They are the brand game. Like, brand. Apple is brand. Like, I mean, Nike has it. There are a couple companies that have, like, that impenetrable brand. But Apple is at the top of that. And it's not that close. So, you know, people will buy the products. It's just going to be interesting to see, because at the end of the day, right, if they're all pretty much the same intelligence, it's just about marketing. And right now Alexa has a stronghold, I think, on the market. So, you know, Google's just going to try and be in the home, and they may very well have the best answers to your questions. I would assume they would with their technology. So Google is a huge dark horse there. You know, if Apple, like, there's going to be, I'm sure there's headlines, you know, Apple coming out with HomePod, like, what does this mean for the Echo? Like, we'll see these two, and then Google kind of, like, as an afterthought, like, kind of like Google Home is also in the market. Like, that's what I would assume that people are talking about. Where I could actually see, and this is coming from someone who hasn't used any of them, but I know that's a lie. I've used Alexa. I have not used Google Home. And I've used Siri, but apparently it's an updated Siri that they're going to have. So it's like Siri with like extra layers to it. And so, yeah, I think, but at the end of the day, it's going to come down to which AI is the best AI, you know, which service is going to be able to best fulfill. See, we don't even know, like, the smartification of the home. This is just the start of it. So it's like, how do you build a central hub of smartness in your home when you don't really know what things you're going to want to have it connect with? I mean, the only things that are smart in the home right now are your televisions and your cell phones, right? Am I missing anything? I guess, like, in your laptops, I guess. No, but your laptops aren't smart. Oh, what makes something smart if it's just fucking Of course, your laptop has to be smart. So basically, I guess smart is anything that can connect to Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Your printer is smart. There's no fucking, like, ovens online, are there? What else could go online in your house? I mean, eventually you're gonna have just, like, your windows and your doors. Probably doors. But that's too clunky, right? That's why, like, anyone could put a TV in their door. It's just not functional right now. The next step is probably people getting out of bed, probably not in the house yet, but outdoors, people are going to be throwing on glasses. Like, Snapchat is ahead of that curve, dude. People are going to be throwing on glasses and going outside and living in alternate reality, in this augmented reality, and it's going to be fucking cool. And that's actually close, man. People are all talking about VR, and everyone just skips over AR like it's nothing. It's like AR and VR, and they get, like, lumped in the same category. And, you know, in a way, they can be in the same category because, like, look, we can't go outside yet and, you know, really interact with things on a valuable level through augmented reality, but people already have virtual reality in the home. So, you know, maybe that the fact that they get lumped together is kind of fair, just because virtual reality, if nothing else, is kind of farther along than augmented reality. Like Pokemon Go, yeah, it's augmented reality, but it's not the kind that's going to make a big difference, because you're still taking people out of their body into another dimension. Where augmented reality, I want to stay in Greg's body and walk around and interact with things and know that I'm Greg, instead of fully immersing, like, a virtual reality experience, or like in Pokemon Go, where obviously in Pokemon Go, I'm still walking, I'm still outside, but I have to, like, lock my eyes on this screen and ignore the environment around me in order to play the game. So it's more virtual reality, in my opinion. Just because you leave the house doesn't make it augmented reality. That's still more of a virtual experience. Now, I guess, you know, there's parts of the game where when you're catching the Pokemon, you know, you put it up and it shows it, like, on the street in front of you. Like, that's cool. That's augmented reality. But that's just a camera showing one thing in front of you. And that technology's been around for quite some time and is way further along than that at this point. I mean, I just watched an episode of Planet of the Apes. It's a new show on Apple Music. And basically, it's New Age Shark Tank. It's just like they have four panel judges. It's Gwyneth Paltrow, Gary Vaynerchuk, Will.i.am, and Jessica Alba. And they just get, like, pitches from these apps, and then they work with the apps for the chance to – well, if they get picked by one of the people, they work with them so that they can pitch to venture capitalists. So they, like, have 6 weeks or whatever. So it's like it's like an incubator kind of thing. And the first one they did, Jessica Alba picked it up, and they're basically doing augmented reality in shopping right now for furniture. So, like, you can show, they have the infrastructure to calculate your location within, like, you walk into a room and your phone is, like, pinging all around you at all times, formulating an artificial, like, a virtual room on your phone that exactly simulates the room that you're in with your phone, just by walking around and letting it do its thing. And then you can place pieces of furniture in the room that look exactly like the real things and are adjusted to size, and move around and move them and add multiple things and change colors and see what it's going to look like in your house. So that's how they have it right now. But then they're pitching it as an even larger thing, where it's just, I guess that's besides the point, but the idea that augmented reality on your phone by, like, looking around a room, like, that's not anything special. Going outside of your house and and making payments and doing, like, lawful activities of any kind, in interacting with that software through your sunglasses or your glasses. Like, Google Glass isn't a mistake. It was just too early. It was way too early for consumer adoption. So that's also so like that's also I mean Snapchat I wonder Google had such a head start on that. Now I'm sure even though Google Glass they pulled it from market, or I don't even know if they did, but I assume they did. You would think that they're trying to make better glasses, or did they just give up on that, you know, and go to bigger and better things? I don't know. But they don't have what Snapchat has, which is like stylish ones that go for $139 and connect to a social network that people are emotionally connected to. So, how did this evolve into me talking about Snapchat? Artificial or augmented reality. I lost it. The HomePod. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not feeling the HomePod, but I am feeling the payment processing, and I am feeling the compressing of the pictures and videos. That's pretty dope. So, and the other thing they had was like a new iPad, but who cares, right? That's about it, I think. I was going to talk about some other shit. We could talk about my softball game, maybe. Softball was sick this week. We fucking won our first game. And because we'd been losing by like 20, right? We've been losing by 20 last like couple of weeks. And it's just like we have a good team. Like we have good players. And basically, long story short, we've had terrible pitching. So I was like, fuck, like I knew I could pitch, but like, I didn't want to pitch because I like playing the infield. So even though we didn't have pitchers the last couple of weeks and people were just kind of like, who can pitch? Who wants to pitch? And then someone would like volunteer, like eventually when I was just sitting there, like sitting on my hands, I guess I was being selfish, but like, fuck you. I paid $100 to play in a softball league. Of course I'm gonna be selfish. If I want to pitch, I'm not going to pitch. But then this last game, we had like a bunch of guys not come, and literally there was no one to pitch. And I was like, all right, I'll pitch. So I pitched, and I did really well. And, I went 5 for 5 at the plate. So I had a pretty good game. And it was like an up and back game. And we went up a 7-inning game. It was lead changes almost every inning. And then in the bottom of the sixth, we go up by like, it was like we had tied it and then we went up by like 3 or 2. And then we went up by 2. They came up in the top of the seventh, scored like 5. So we like went down 3 and came up in the bottom of the seventh and ended up we tied the game and then we had bases loaded, 2 outs. With the game tied in the bottom, and I was on third base, and our dude hit a hard ground ball up the middle. Shortstop makes the play, and then instead of stepping on second, because he's like 2 strides away and the runner's like 5, instead of doing that, he underthrows it to the second baseman, who's not even ready for it because it's so obvious he should take it himself. That person drops the ball because like it was like late reaction time, picks it up, throws to first, and throws it away. So we score, and we got the walk-off win, and it was dope. Except, I don't know, if you follow my Snapchat, you probably saw the fucking cuts I got. Follow me, at Greg Lunt on Snapchat. And there's this little pop-up in front of the pitcher's mound. And our catcher is like this little Asian girl, and she had no chance. So he pops it up right in front of the plate, basically. And I just run off the pitcher's mound, and I do a full-fledged dive directly towards home plate in front of me. And it hits the end of my glove, and I fucking gash up my – because this field is literally just cement covered in sand, like covered in like 2 inches of sand. It is brutal field. And I did a head-first belly dive, like stretch out, and I got the left side of my hip gashed open, And well, that's exaggerating. It wasn't bleeding that bad. It was bleeding kind of bad. There was like a little, dude, I lost like a chunk of skin. It was like bad. But and then my elbow, I fucked up, but that's fine. And then my hand a little bit, but it's just been a little uncomfortable to sleep on, but it's just like whatever. I'm in pretty good health, so this should these will go away. Although I went in a pool yesterday. I don't know if that was smart. It's like two huge open wounds on the side of my body, and now the one on my elbow is kind of like red, but like not right around it, like an inch to 2 inches longer than it on each side. So I don't think it's infected. I just think it needs some help because it's a big ass cut that went in some like potentially dirty water yesterday. So all right, well, I'm probably gonna have the left side of my body amputated by next week's podcast. But anyway, thanks for listening, and what the fuck else, man? Yeah, things are good. So I've been thinking about doing some short form content, video content, with my brother and my friend who just got here. So look out for that. And I think we might do it on Snapchat because it just makes more sense to me to, instead of trying to create like YouTube videos where like, you know, quality is a big deal, Snapchat kind of levels the playing field in terms of quality of content. It actually reminds me a lot of Vine in that way. The only difference is that people don't look at Snapchat as this like competitive territory where it's worth their time to like create content on because there's no way for anyone to find it. So why create content if you can't profit off it, let's say? Whether that's, you know, more followers, more money, more likes, whatever people go for and their engagement metrics and all that. You don't get that on Snapchat. You do, but no one else can see it and you can't grow it. You can't grow it. So people don't want to do that. But you're stupid as fuck if you don't think that Snapchat's going to open the gates at some point. That's the huge fucking card that they have up their sleeve. They have not opened up discovery and community on Snapchat. And then the fact that they're moving into artificial, God, why do I keep saying that? Augmented reality, and they've called themselves a camera company in their IPO. It's just like, and they're creating a drone apparently. So it's like, where are they going? What are they thinking? I just don't think they know yet either, probably. I mean, I'm sure they have like strategy, but they're waiting for the right time. There's no reason for them to do it. Sure, Instagram, steal all our functionality. Okay, whatever. We have something bigger. This isn't a social network where people just post what they did today. There's a reason that they have, like, they have all the big boys advertising there, but they're creating programming for it already. Like, they're creating real programming for Snapchat, and it's better than programming on any other platform. I just think Snapchat has fucking so much potential. Their stock is a great buy, by the way. $20? That's literally going to happen. Okay, it's literally going to happen what happened to Facebook. Like, it just stays down for, like, now Facebook, I think I looked, it was like a year. It stayed down about a year before it started to climb. It just kind of chilled, like, before it started to go up. Snapchat might be similar. They may go the rest of this year and just kind of sit on nothing, and then when the new year comes, or they launch something for the holidays, you don't expect, dude. I mean, we're knocking on summer. Okay, this is going out of your house time. Don't expect Snapchat not to make a move for the summer. You're gonna see something drop. Unless, you know, if nothing happens this summer, if Snapchat stays quiet this summer, I would be extremely concerned. I just don't think that's going to happen. So, because you would have seen that, you would have seen them already grasping at straws. You would have seen that, like, they haven't said anything. You know what I mean? They haven't put out any new features to say, hey, we're different than Instagram stories. They've kind of conceded that. They're still putting up like new filters and stuff. Like, they're just playing around with it. But what do you think they're really working on? They're working on the real answer. They're not just fucking, you know, they've said, okay, look, you copied our features. Great. Here's our next move. And when that move comes, it's not going to be a mistake. So So I'm not worried about them, like, yet. I'm just really interested to see what their fucking move is. But all the tea leaves kind of read that interesting things are coming. I'm interested as a consumer, as a user, and I want to start creating more content on Snapchat. That's a big deal. So I want to figure it. It reminds me of Vine in those early days when you were limited at the quality of content you could create. And so everyone was on a level playing field. And it was just purely about the content. It wasn't about how good it looked or the quality of the audio or the effects that you put in. It was about like the heart behind it. Like, okay, I know exactly how he did that. I appreciate that, and I respect you as a creator because I can fully empathize with what it took to create that because I know exactly how to use that program too. And that's how it created this like really tight-knit community on Vine that, you know, they still, all the Viners, they love each other to this day still. So for me, I just think that there's programmatic content that will be on Snapchat in short order. There already is. They have a show on there that I was watching, some texting show, Phone Swap. It's called Phone Swap, and basically it's short form in 10-second Snapchats, but it's probably like, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 minutes long, and it's two people sit down and they think they're doing some blind date kind of like thing, and then they're told, okay, here's the show, switch phones and go through it one at a time while the other one sits in the other room, and you talk about what you find on their phone. And it's like a good concept, and it's done pretty well. That type of stuff is coming. All the fucking stories that are coming out by all the big brands. So all the big people have the head start, of course, but it's just a preview for what's actually going to happen. So they have the Discover part, and it's just 18 different companies. When that Discover starts to become, there's popular pages and explore bars and hashtags, and Snapchat starts to, I mean, then it's on. Because everyone has, look, unless you have followings on other platforms, which most people don't, your Snapchat is likely under 500. Your Snapchat is under 500 people, okay? So that's probably 98% of Snapchat users have like under 500 people. And I'm making that number out of thin air. That's probably not right. It's probably like 80% or something, but that's the vast majority. I mean, if they opened up Snapchat and showed numbers, think about what that does to the people with numbers. So if you are Dylan Francis, or if you are Justin Bieber, or if I don't know, you know, or Kim Kardashian has so many probably because they do Snapchat, like Kylie Jenner. If they opened up numbers of that, then all of a sudden that brings all the influencers back to Snapchat because it's fresh, new playground, dude. It's a new fucking playground for all the people that have any influence. And they're all going to go back to Snapchat, and they're all going to be, and Snapchat's going to come out with some fucking exclusive shit, and those people are going to wear it. And like, that's how it's going down. So I wish I had a little more cash to throw into Snapchat stock. I mean, I guess it's so cheap. It's so cheap. I could do it, but, maybe what I'll do is just allocate my like Facebook profits thus far and just move it into Snapchat. I think I got like $5,000 or $6,000 in Facebook, and it's went up from like I got it at 94, and then I got it at 104, and now it's at 150. So I've made like 50% profit. So that's an extra like $2,500 bucks, throw that into Snapchat. That's a lot of shares because they're only $20, you know? So could do that. But whatever. I think it's a good buy. And Facebook is, but Snapchat, it's still more speculative, obviously, but whereas Facebook is just like the lock of all time. Like, even if you already own Facebook, if you're saving money each month, let's put it that way. If you're breaking even or able to save money each month, depending on your living situation, I would advise as a non-professional, complete moron that has no idea what he's talking about, I would advise you to pick up as much Facebook stock as you can, because that company fucking owns the infrastructure to social behavior, them and Google. And but Facebook has something. They have community. They don't just have information. They have information that ties people together, where Google has individual information. So obviously that's a very broad painted brush, but I guess that's just kind of how I see it. And Facebook's had to split into two, and they're both at like, what, fucking 1,000 or some shit? They're at like 2,000 total. Facebook's at 150. Apple's at like 800 or whatever. I don't actually know these prices. I just know like Apple and Amazon are both up in like the 800-900s. Actually, that could be completely wrong, because Apple went down a while ago. Actually, don't know shit about Apple stock. Oh, 155. Jesus Christ. I haven't checked Apple in a while. I know Amazon was up there. What's Amazon? Amazon's at 1,000 now. Good for them. That's a fucking monster company. But you kind of missed the boat on buying Amazon stock. I mean, you didn't. You didn't. You just have to have a nice bankroll now if you want to do it. Apple's a weird one. But it just has the pulse of the people always, so you can never count them out. That is the one underrated thing about Apple. It's like, because, and the only reason I say underrated is because me and my friend battle about Apple versus Google and about who's more powerful. So that's the word, powerful. It's like, not who has the most money, who's the most powerful. And his argument was that Apple was the most powerful because they had the most money. And I was like, I don't necessarily agree that money is what makes a company powerful. I think it's information. I think it's what they know about people, about society, about behavior. Because if you catalog behavior, you can predict behavior. We're humans. We're very predictable. And that's why we have all the answers to everything you ever need in your life, spiritual, factual, they're all online. It's just about which ones are right and which ones are wrong. But people have solved all of the problems already as far as the human experience, how to live a life with value and meaning and joy and fulfillment. Those things have already been discovered. The tools are there. We have resources. Not the whole world, not humans, but Americans have resources to have the greatest human experience, but we decide, and yes, you decide to listen to what others say and believe everything and not think objectively about your own experience. And this is when it's okay to be selfish. It's okay to be selfish. When you're talking about your human experience, you have to be selfish. And if you're not, then you're not living, you're not doing it right. You're just not, sorry. Like, you're losing the game. You're behind the curve. You're losing. This is a game. Okay, guys? We're in a fucking virtual reality game. It's all fake. All of it. So, yeah, Greg. Go, Greg. You got this. Yeah, man. The cheat codes are already out there. All the cheat codes are out there. So if you're scared, you know, of what's on the other side, good. Then don't pretend you're not. I think the problem is that I begin to feel preachy, you know? Even though I'm just going on like a wave of consciousness and just trying to share what's coming through me, my ego is strong enough where it weeds its way in and then blocks that thought. Well, can I bitch about one more thing? I got this fucking, you know what? That's probably not appropriate. All right. Well, I am going to go. How long is this? 46 minutes. All right. Well, there you go, guys. A little extra treat. The thoughts of my psychotic brain. And I'm going to go now and check out the NBA final game. It's probably on soon. So I hope you guys have a great rest of the week. And I will talk to you next Wednesday. Love you. Bye.